I want to share a few things this morning, and I want to honor your time as best as I can, because this could be potentially long, but I'm going to honor your time, and I want to speak a little bit on things I've kind of spoken about over the last few weeks, but it deals with authority, and when I say authority specifically, as it would pertain to kind of maybe relevancy to today when it comes to areas of church and family and government. I've mentioned that some in the past, and I want to delve into it a little bit more. I have a couple of things I want to say, but I'm going to give you some verses. Don't turn there because I'm going to read them, but I'm going to give them to you. You can write them down if you want. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 through 22. I'll read that in a minute. It's Acts chapter 4, verse 13 through 22. Right after that, it's Acts chapter 5, verse 28 through 32. After that, it's just two more passages you can write down and look at it later if you want. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. And the last one will be 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. Write those down. I don't want to take the time. I'm going to read through all of them. And someone told me what they gave me. I always enjoy feedback, either positive or ways to improve. I'd rather have that than nothing, so I always appreciate feedback. Someone told me recently I read the Bible verses too quickly. And sometimes I believe we're the product of how we're raised. And so I grew up in the ministers that really impacted my life. He'd always say, don't take notes on me. Don't turn there. Just listen. Because he would just rattle stuff out. And I just kind of picked it up, I guess. And sometimes I do that. But I do want to give you those passages. Because sometimes I love when we're in Scripture and there's seeming contradictions. Or you can have a tension, I would say, between two things that are both true. Okay? So the first passage is just a portion I'm going to read. It's in Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to start with verse 18. And this is when Peter and John have been preaching. And it said, so they called them, which were being the chief priests, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard. I love that seen and heard as well. The gospel should be seen and it should be heard. We should live it and articulate it. Okay? Alright, in Acts chapter 5, and this is in 28, and this is after they disobeyed those commands and went forward preaching. And they got him and they said, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So they had gotten the command, don't preach in Jesus' name. And they didn't listen to it, got in trouble again, and they said, we need to obey God and not man. And then you turn to Romans 13, and in verse 1, he says, let every soul be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So we've got one, obey God, not man. We've got another one here, obey them. If you resist, you bring judgment on yourself. Okay? He goes on to say, render the taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And then in 1 Peter verse 13, it says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Okay, so there's a seeming tension that's there. I was just speaking to someone some time ago about this. And oftentimes when we don't take the entirety of Scripture, and I've been guilty of this, and I know you have as well, we all have, when we don't take the entirety of Scripture together, it's very easy to take a verse or two and use it for our own agenda. And so sometimes I've seen people with flat-out rebellious spirits who say, I'm going to obey God and not man. And then we get the other side of the coin where we're afraid to sneeze unless someone in charge tells us. And you have both of those tensions, and the truth is somewhere in the middle, as I'm going to try to get to. When I say in the middle, the truth is centered in Jesus Christ, which it says in Colossians, He's who holds everything together by the word of His power. So I would say without Jesus, everything, they even look at science and atoms, and I was telling Owen, I was never good at science. I barely passed my science classes. You girls, bow girls, could help me with that. But I do know in when you study cells and atoms, there's something, and I forget what it's called, that holds them together that's unexplainable. I believe it's about Jesus. He holds all things together. He's the, call it the invisible link, whatever you want to call it, but it's Christ. But I want to say this as a way to repeat it, because I've said it before, some of you may or may not have heard it. When it comes to authority, that word is exousia. And no one has any real authority, because Jesus has it all. All authority on heaven and earth was given to me, Jesus said. Go and make disciples. Jesus, when he was standing before Pilate, said, you would have no authority at all over me if it had not been given to you from heaven. So Jesus has all authority. It's all centered in heaven, but he doesn't delegate it. And so anyone with any type of authority, any situation, I have authority in my family because it's delegated to me by God, scripturally. Not to be a tyrant. It's not something I did. I just, God's given that to me. Governmental leaders, they have authority. It's not because they're special people. Oftentimes they're not. But God has invested them with authority from heaven. Same, and I've said this too, is the three main institutions, the family, the church, and the government, God set up. The same thing for church. So I have authority here God's given me. It's certainly not because of anything I've done or how special I am. It's something that God invested in me. If I drop dead tomorrow and someone comes in here and they carry that office, it's the same thing. It's authority that's vested by God. So it should produce a humility in everyone, in your families. If you're on the job, there's also precedence in Scripture. You talk about Ephesians, being good employees. I believe even that is authority that's vested by God. Authority makes everything run. If you look at the cars going by, we know there's a certain side of the road to drive on. We know that red means stop, green means go, yellow means to either speed up really fast or slam on brakes. I usually speed up really fast. But all that happens because there are authority structures in place, a set guidance, they set governance. If you don't have that, it's chaos. So we've seen some of that, even just practically, if you look in our nation, in Seattle, you guys used to be Mike and Eva, there's an area, I guess it was autonomous for a while, and there's no authority until someone decided they wanted to be an authority, and it was just chaos, and it was sad to watch, and funny at the same time, because God designs, God is a God of order. He is a God of authority and structure. He is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So there's freedom in Christ, but there's also freedom. I am more free when I'm under order and structure. I have to have both of those that flow together. There's more freedom when I'm aware of boundaries. I have more freedom to be to drive safely when I have rules and governance. That's how God designed things. He's big. Someone else could possibly explain that even better, but I think you get the picture. And so we have those things, and there's government throughout the Scriptures. So I say all authority centers in Jesus. Another aspect, real authority, which I'll talk about in a minute, never has to be enforced. It's only recognized. If I say North Korea, when they have a communist state, that guy's He's not a real leader because he has to enforce his. If I have to tell someone I'm in charge, or if you have to tell someone, then you're probably not. It's recognized. And also, real authority can only work through personal relationships, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more. There's the, if I don't shed blood for someone, it's hard to speak into their life. I shed my blood metaphorically speaking for my kids. I have a right to speak into their life in a way that someone else doesn't. Okay, and that works in a lot of different ways. But I want to, a few quick points that are very practical. One thing that people speak about in church settings a lot, and I feel like I needed to share this actually just this morning, and it's about coverings. And it says this in Psalms, if you're in our Bible reading plan, we did Psalms 91 this morning. It says, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. I'm under His covering. Amen? In Deuteronomy 33, it says, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by Him, who shelters Him all day long, and He shall dwell between His shoulders. Another aspect. In my own personal life, my covering, hear everything I say in context, my covering is Jesus. I'm under His wings. You can never go farther, so if Billy is as far as I can go, then that's as far as I go. Jesus is my covering. He's everything. But I do understand the coverings that He's placed, and again, there's certain areas. If you look at Passover in Scripture, in Exodus, what happened when the death angel was released? There was a covering over their house. The blood of Jesus. Later on, Rahab, there's a covering for her because of the scarlet thread. There's always safety when you're in the will of God. There's safety when you're under His jurisdiction. And spiritual protection I have here, spiritual protection of God's people depends completely upon your proper positioning. He who dwells shall abide. So what I want to say in relation to that, and if I was living in New York City right now, it would maybe mean more, or if I was living in maybe Los Angeles, although it does apply here as well. The safest place for all of us is in the will of God. If you look at... So in other words, if God told me to go to New York City, and I was like, you shouldn't live in a city, but God has that, the Lord. But if He has, the safest place in the world for me to be would be New York City. Okay? So I remember when I came to Connecticut early on, someone was like, I'm going to move because the taxes are too high. Still saying taxes, taxes, taxes. Amen. I hear that. But I've flourished since I've been here financially because I'm in the will of God. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be. I don't care what the tax rate is. I'm safe in God's prayer. If you look at the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah, they both stayed in Jerusalem when it was being... Well, for Isaiah, it was when the Assyrians were threatening it. And then for Jeremiah, he stayed right through Babylonians coming in and ransacking the city. And he had favor with the Babylonian army. Why? Because he was under the covering and the protection. He was safe in the will of God, where God had him.
Amen.
And that's important for us to remember, because it goes to something. I felt to share this morning. Maybe someone needs to hear it. But it deals with being reactionary sometimes, I would say. Maybe about, or living under circumstances of man. I was telling someone about the quarantine order. In fact, that when we were driving up to New York and Massachusetts, they had like literally the whole country except for New England had to quarantine. And I was telling someone about Connecticut, Jersey, and New York. And there's, well, those are three states you wouldn't want to go to anyways. But you know what? If you're supposed to be here, it's the only state you have to be in. Or Rhode Island, because there might be people in different areas. Safest place is in the will of God. And so when I look out and I see things going on in the world, what's happening, I need to just go live where my in-laws live, in the mountains where there's nobody there and no one's going to bother me. I was driving one day when I was in Bible school, we were taking a pastor in Kenya, And he was there with us, and we were driving him to Baltimore on our way down to stay with someone for Thanksgiving. And I'd never thought this way before, but we were driving down the road, and there was this, like, in Pennsylvania, and there's these big hills and valleys. And I said, oh, that's beautiful. And he said, oh, that would be a great place to build your shelter to prevent other tribes from coming in and or something like that. His whole train of thought was entirely different than mine. And, you know, sometimes I find myself thinking a little more like that sometimes today. But as long as you're under the shelter and the covering of Jesus, wherever it is, even girls for you with your schooling next year, guys with your school, wherever the will of God is where you're going to thrive. Wherever God says to be, it's the best place to be. Amen? And so I just want to encourage us with that. There's another story I want to share. I just read this week. In the 1850s, there was a boy in the Ottoman Empire, which is now Turkey. And God had given him a vision to move. We should all move to California. It was a place, actually California. And they kind of mocked him. But if you remember the Armenian genocide, or the Armenian church was almost wiped out in the early 1900s. Because he heard from God correctly, he was in a place God had for him to be. And his granddad was the one who started the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. So it talks about being in tune with the Spirit as well. Wherever God has for you, that's the safest place to be. There's another little principle. I might get to the other parts of this later, but I feel like today this is important. There's one mediator between God and man Christ Jesus, right? Yeah. So no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Unflinching, that's it. But in that verse, it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It actually said there's one mediator between God and men. And there's something I've mentioned here in the past, but it's horizontal mediation. And what it means, there's one mediator between God and men. It means that God should be center in all of my relationships. God should be sovereign in all of my relationships. That matters a great deal. Oftentimes we get in the biggest hassle. I'm always sharing my heart with you. One of the bad dreams I will have, and I think a lot of people have this, I'll dream that I didn't marry my wife. And I wake up and like, oh, I'm so glad I married you. I don't know what it is, but every now and then, like, oh, you're so glad. Guys, don't marry the wrong person. Make sure you know that you know that you know in your spirit that it's God. Usually there's going to be a witness with your family, with your mom, and with your dad. And you get yourself into, and I don't say that anyone else who's made that mistake, but you can get yourself into a lot of trouble. Oftentimes we have problems and there's chaos in life because I've aligned myself to the wrong person or the wrong people. We could have a whole youth service on that. But adults need it as well. And it's vitally, vitally important that everything I do, even going back to location things, I remember when I left Bible school, I thought I did, in North Carolina. And I struggled so much. I didn't thrive or prosper at all. Sometimes there's maybe nothing wrong with the other person God's called you or you think you're supposed to marry. It's just like the whole analogy of an orange tree in Minnesota. An orange tree is great in Florida. If I move it to Minnesota, it's not so great. There's nothing wrong with the orange tree. There's nothing wrong with Minnesota. It's just that's not a combination. And so it's vitally important that for all of us that we're rightly connected and that God is sovereign. Breaking my 6-foot rule, that God is king. Jesus is king over all of our relationships, husband and wife, every relationship I have with everyone, and ultimately all authority structures as well. It has to be relational. That's how God operates. That's how the kingdom works. It's relational. Okay? I needed to share that. I just felt like I did. So there's a few quick authority things, and I'm going to go through them relatively quickly. because it's very, very practical. And we have I think I'm going to go through it relatively quickly. I want to. But there's something in Scripture, it's metrons of authority. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Paul is saying, I will not boast beyond the sphere that God has entrusted to me. And I said this last week for those of you who weren't here. The government has a structure. And the government has a realm of authority where I as a pastor or I as a father, it's not my place to go in and control them. I can speak and influence, but I can't control. Same thing for family. I can't control Teresa. I can't go in. That's their situation. Ann's laughing. I can't do that. And the same thing for church. I can't invite the government into a board meeting to tell me how to do the budget at church. That's not their place. And so back to the initial point of the beginning, oftentimes the tension that happens between it's better to obey, when they said it's better to obey God than man, what was happening is that they were coming in a situation and saying, and this wasn't the government, these were, often it's the government, secular government, or religious people without the Spirit of God, and then I'll say, that caused problems in areas like this. And so the religious crowd came in and said, don't preach Jesus. And so they said, in that case, you know what? You can't tell me to violate the Great Commission. Go into all the earth. You can't tell me to violate that. So when you tell me to violate Scripture, it's better to obey God than man. The Hebrew midwives would have been in error if they obeyed Pharaoh's commands and had those babies killed, right? It is better to obey God than man. But in areas where it's under, I would say this too, I don't think we have this problem here, but I do know some people do, and it's just it's a prevalent thing, so it's all I can remember, the masks. So somebody, I'm not wearing one for anything. That's fine. That's your conviction. It's okay. I believe scripturally that if it doesn't violate God's commands, and if it does, then show it to me in Scripture because I'd love to see it. I really would. But if it doesn't violate God's commands, it doesn't matter what I think about it. I'm going to honor God's authority He put in the government. So I'll render taxes to whom taxes are due. I don't like the high taxes. Okay? It doesn't matter what I think. Am I where God has me? Yes. I'm going to flourish, and I'm going to pay taxes whether I like it or not. I don't like to have to wear a mask. I don't like wearing a mask and stop and shop when I leave here after the church day and go over there. It doesn't matter, really. Because, and one thing, this is a great principle to go through life, because I honor God, I honor His authorities. Even more so than the man himself or the woman himself. I honor the authority by honoring God. And that's something I don't see in every Christian. I'm not saying that for you guys. I just mean at large. When I hear people, when I hear something that's in their spirits, don't know that's, I've always gotten that. If it doesn't violate Scripture and it's in their sphere, it doesn't matter what I think. I honor God enough where I'm going to honor them. And if that governmental leader is in error, their heart's wicked or wrong, they're going to stand before God and give account. God's going to give account to me. How did you respect the authority I put in place? Okay? If they tell me to, you know, violate Scripture, then in that case, you know what? It's better for me to obey God because you've stepped outside of your jurisdiction. You stepped outside of your sphere. You've come over here into an area where you're not spiritually, you don't have authority. Okay? That's a very, very important distinction that we should all arm ourselves with. I think you guys understand that. There's metrons in church, there's metrons in government, there's metrons in the family as well. So just a few quick things. First and foremost, the authority of the written Word of God. Okay? Do you know Jesus, and I was studying this, Jesus appealed to this level of authority, the Word of God, 9 times in Matthew, 6 times in Mark, 8 times in Luke, and 3 times in John. Jesus Himself appealed to the authority of the Word of God. Now, if He did it, talk to myself, I need to find time to read this book. I'm not greater than my Master. Okay? And so Jesus appealed to the written Word of God. So that goes back again. if I get a command from someone outside of outside the jurisdiction, if government's telling me to do something that violates the scripture, or anyone's telling me, I'm going to appeal to the Word of God. So it's important that we are Bereans and that we read and that we study scripture and that we learn what he says. Amen. Nothing contrary to scripture can ever be truth. For example, another thing. In the beginning, God created man and woman. That's scripture. That's truth. So truth can't be violated. So my conscience would dictate to me, scripture dictates to me, that that's the order that God's given. Amen? Truth can't go beyond scripture. When we take the established Word of God, and it's so important as Christians that we read the Bible. When we get rid of this truth, Jesus said, I am the true way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. When I lose that plumb line, when I lose that standard, there's nothing. There's contradictions. Everyone becomes their own. It's postmodernism at its height. And we can't have that. It also says, nothing in addition to truth or scripture can ever be binding. It may be true, but it cannot be binding on another. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. There's an authority of custom. And Paul writes, when he's talking, let me just read this. I'm just going to go ahead and do it to speed up my time. When Paul was talking about principles of public prayer in 1 Corinthians 11, they're talking about coverings. He says this, but if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such customs, nor do the churches of God. So Paul was even saying here to the Corinthian church, this is my recommendation to you, but if anyone has a problem, if there's contentions with it, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Sometimes it's simple. You'd be surprised at a phone calls that I've gotten because different customs with dress that aren't biblical aren't done the way that that individual's custom said it should be done. To the point where it becomes central to all of theology. And it's really just a custom. Amen? I don't know if it happens. We do customs let me go to conscience, the authority of conscience as well. If my conviction says, I don't believe, because this was really big back in the day, I'm not sure if it is so much, I think the scripture tells me I can't eat pork. There's people like that. That's fine. If that's Billy, and he says, God's told me I can't eat pork. I found it in scriptures. Can't do it. I'm not going to go to Billy's house. I'm not going to invite Billy to my house and serve barbecue. Eastern North Carolina barbecue, as good as that would be. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go cook bacon, because I honor that. Do everything in love. There's a story about a man who would not eat pork, and pastor's group, and he went to the pastor's meeting, and they served pork just to spite him, and they started praying, thank you, Lord, for this, just to cut this guy. That's not the Spirit of God, amen? So make sure that nothing goes beyond Scripture, and has nothing contrary to Scripture can ever be the truth, amen? And he's talking about the authority of conscience. And let me just say this, everything is not always in Scripture. What I mean by that, if I'm deciding between two different jobs, I can't find, turn to Romans chapter 2, take this job and not that job. That's where you have to hear from the Spirit of God. That's when people say there's no such thing as prophecy anymore. Well, the Spirit of God can't speak to me on day-to-day issues. I can't find, I've had that story. There's conscience. We call that the conscience that speaks about that. I have several verses here. It says in John 8:9, they were convicted by their own conscience. Paul, say in Acts 23, I've lived in all good conscience before you today. Scripture talks about when your conscience is seared. I always say that's your knower, it's your spirit. It's like the peace of God ruling your heart. There's an authority that comes from that. If I'm deciding between two jobs, I can't turn to Acts and take this job. I'm not going to find it. That's the case where I trust my walk with God. I trust the Spirit of God. There can be principles of what I should do in the Scripture. But that authority of the peace of God in my heart and my spirit, that's the realm of authority that we have. Amen? I can't find it in the Scriptures, but it's here. And sometimes, once again, that's different for different people. Alcohol is a big thing for believers. I've shared this here before. If Billy thinks it's okay to have a glass of wine and my conscience says I can't, that's okay, right? The scriptures doesn't completely prohibit it. It does prohibit drunkenness, though. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, maybe if I took a drink, I would not be able to handle it. Maybe something else for him. So you always use the authority of conscience, and you use the operation of the Spirit of love in those instances. Amen? Okay. Delegated authority. I've talked about that. Let me just say this. I want to say two things about that, and I'm going to wrap up. Delegated authority, and I've said this, when Jesus called his disciples, he said when he called the 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. Power of exousia, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Apostello means to send. Anytime that you have a metron or realm of authority, let's say in my job, this is the best way because this is for all, in my job, there's certain meetings that I can be a part of. Training to do with other agencies. And I recognize that when I'm there, I'm representing the company, and I'm representing their account and everything about it. I've been given delegated authority, but I'm not in charge of it. And I can't make all the decisions thereof. That's called delegated authority. It's knowing the realm and the sphere that God's called you to. Sometimes, this possibly applies more to a church setting. A 14-year-old kid, if we had a huge service here and we're parking out there and we had a parking attendant, and I put Sean in charge of that, Sean has more authority in that realm than a pastor of 5,000 who comes in. Amen? Because that's a delegated realm of authority that he's been given. And sometimes we view rank and view, you know what, I'm a pastor, I'm this, I'm that, and he's not. And I look at that in a situation, a standpoint, I should be in charge, he shouldn't. Again, that goes back to honoring delegated authority. Amen? Amen. All right, one more thing, and I will be done. I did functional authority, and this is the last realm of authority. And it's the authority of common sense. I'll say this is the tenth gift of the Spirit, it's functional authority. If we're here in church, and the governor's here, and I'm here, and someone gets sick, I can't fix it, they can't fix it. The person with the most authority in that situation is the doctor in the room. If there's an accident out there on the streets, functional authority, who knows the most? Who has the most backbone? Who has the most weight? Oftentimes we miss that because we let pride get in. And it's just a simple realm of authority. And so all of us have areas of authority in our life that we all carry as well. Be it in your home, be it on your job. One thing authority never does, and I want to go back to it just to close with this, and I look for this in leaders and government as well, or churches. All authority, while it's set by God and it's set to give order and structure, at the end of the day, for all of you, and I want all of you to know this, okay? Some of you I may pastor the rest of your life, some of you I may not. Wherever you go, wherever you end up next week, next year, however that works, I'm speaking to you. Never submit yourself to anyone who has to control you. In the beginning, that's one area where God did not give Adam and Eve control over each other. And anytime you find yourself where I have to control all authority, and I wish I could tell every person in government this, all authority effectively serves and effectively comes under. It's over in its jurisdiction, but it serves. It shed, because Jesus shed his blood for us, he had the right to stoop and wash our feet. Again, it's the blood and water principle. It deals with relationships. Never, and do that for yourselves. If you ever in a position of authority, I'll speak to you young girls and guys especially, if you grow up, if you're ever in a position of authority, I always love working somewhere and someone's nice and maybe a little bit of authority, their head won't fit through the door. What happened? something in there wasn't done properly in your heart. It's a commission. It means that I'm called to serve, and it's done through relationships. If someone has to tell me they're in charge, then they're not actually in charge. They're not. It's recognized. It's never enforced. So I pray for all of us in our families, with my kids, your spheres of influence in your work, however that goes. Recognize levels of authority. I'm not going to use it's better to obey God than man to have a rebellious spirit. But if someone's crossing over into an area they shouldn't, and someone is mandating control in an area they shouldn't have, in that sense, he is my covering, and I'm going to obey God and not you in that instance. If it's a space where there's nothing done in Scripture, I can't find in Scripture, and it's not violating the Word of God, in that case, I'm going to obey the authority structure that God has put in place, like a tax, whether I agree with it or not. Amen? It's not time to flex my muscles. And that's an area where I do give authority. When I resist that, I bring judgment on myself. Lucifer was the ultimate rebellious spirit because he subverted God's mandated authority. Amen? So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for us. I thank you for this.